VIP Conduit presents Getting to Know You for November 2021. This month, our special guest is Margaret Zalewski from Washington State. Now let's welcome our host, Susie B. from Tennessee.
Welcome to tonight's edition of Getting to Know You. And tonight I have the honor of interviewing Margaret. Her last name starts with a Z and lives in Washington State. Margaret, welcome to Getting to Know You.
Thank you for welcoming me.
We're going to start off with some very basic questions. Where were you born?
I was born in Brooklyn, New York.
Is that where you grew up?
Yeah, I grew up there till I was 20, and then we moved to Queens.
Okay. Do you have brothers and sisters?
No, I'm the only child.
You are it. Okay, at what point was your vision loss realized?
Well, from what I understand, I was 2 years old when my aunt, I guess she lit a match and I didn't follow it. So she said to my mother, "You guys need to take her to the doctor. Something's wrong."
Did you have any vision at all or just limited vision?
No, I was pretty good partial up to 20. And then when I got 21, totally blind.
All right. Where did you go to school? Where did you start out?
Okay, I started at grammar school in Brooklyn, first grade.
All right, was this public school?
Yes, it was a public school.
Okay, did you continue in the public school or did you switch to a parochial school or a school for the blind?
I went to the public school up to sixth grade. And then I went to the school for the blind.
Okay. How was it in public school? Did you have, were you able to use large print?
Yes, I was able to use large print. We had a class, it was called the sight conservation class. And certain periods we'd go to the sighted class and then go back to the sight conservation class.
Were you involved in things like activities outside of your regular reading, writing, and arithmetic type things, such as sports or music?
Not for the first 6 years, really. I mean, they used to, when the sighted kids went to the park and stuff, I was allowed to go, and because I could see, I was, you know, I could jump rope, and we did, what do they call it? I can't think of it now. I thought of it earlier today. It's another kind of jump rope, and I can't think of it right now. So I was able to do that, and I enjoyed that. But no, they didn't let us do any sports or anything.
Okay. What about when you went to the school for the blind? Did you go home every night, or did you live in a dormitory on campus?
I stayed Monday to Friday and went home on Fridays.
Was that a big adjustment for you to go away from home to school?
Well, I wanted that. So it was kind of more of a big adjustment getting used to the school there. I kind of settled in pretty good because, unfortunately, one of the reasons I wanted to go is that my mother didn't act very good to me. I felt that she was ashamed of my blindness, and I was right.
What were some of the things that you enjoyed after you went to school for the blind that you were able to do that you weren't at public school?
Okay, well, we had gym, and then later on they had a swimming pool, so I got to learn how to swim. I became a Girl Scout, and I enjoyed that. I was in the chorus, and I enjoyed that. In fact, we went to the World's Fair. The chorus went to the World's Fair, and we got to sing at the World's Fair.
Oh, that's incredible. So actually, going to School for the Blind really did open up some doors for you, didn't it?
In so many ways, it opened some but closed another, because when I got to the school, they put me in the seventh grade class. I was a really frightened kid and very quiet. My problem was, if I read the books in Braille, I couldn't comprehend it. I found out later on that if I had books, you know, on cassette or whatever, it would have been better for me. But they kept saying, they had me in the seventh grade, and they said, no, it's not working out. Well, unfortunately, I don't know why, but for some reason, any kid that they felt they couldn't learn, they threw in this class, and they called it ungraded. Then they threw me in another class, and they said, oh, yeah, well, you'll get your eighth grade diploma. And I was doing good in the class. I could write, print, and follow and everything, but never getting anywhere. And I started to get tired of it. So, I mean, this has gone on for a lot of time, and I became 17. And I went to my dad and I said, look, Dad, they make me feel so bad. I said, I don't want to stay anymore. So then they said I could go for training, and they put me to go for training.
Now, you had a good relationship with your dad, right?
God, he was aces. He adored me, took me every place. I used to love to go to ice shows, and he would make sure that I got front row seats so that I could see all the ice skates. He took me every place.
Just relax, take a few deep breaths. Didn't you enjoy going snow sledding? Wasn't that something you enjoyed doing?
Oh, yes. We lived on a block, and we had an empty parking lot. And when it filled up with snow, my dad would take me in the sled, and I loved that. That was so good, because we used to get like 6 to 8, 10, 12, even 2, 3 feet.
Oh, I just can't even imagine. Were you a great snowball fighter?
I used to like to throw snowballs, yes.
So if there was a team of snowball fighters, I guess they wanted you on their team, huh?
Well, in my apartment building, on my floor, there was a girl. Her name is Madeline. They were Spanish, and they called her Poopa. So we became friends at the age of 5. I think I was 5 and she was 4. And then upstairs there was Junior, Vivian, and Julia. And they brother and sister, and they were Spanish. We became really good friends, and we did everything together.
What were some of the things that you all did together?
Get in trouble. We used to love to play in the hall of the building. And the landlord, the janitor, I think you called him the janitor, he had his wife, and it was really something. She'd sneak up the steps, because we were on the fourth floor and the fifth floor, depending on, you know, if they play on my floor or up the next floor. And she'd come up there, get in the house, you don't belong in the hall, you can't do this.
Oh, my. Can you think of one of your favorite things that you did? It might have been something you did get in trouble for, but you had just a great time doing it. Can you think of something?
Yes, I can. My cousin, my aunt died, and my cousin's father worked nights, so my parents were kind of like raising him, and he was older than us, and we'd get into pillow fights. My parents would come home, and they think I started it, and I got in trouble, but it was really him.
All right. So despite being an only child, you had some good friends that you did a lot of things with.
Oh, yes, my friend Madeline. We're still friends. She came out here 5 years ago. We went to the Space Needle. We went on a whale watching tour, which I loved. She took me shopping, and we went to church, and it was just so wonderful.
How many years had it been since you had seen her?
Okay, it was 5 years ago since I seen her, but I talked to her all the time on the phone.
No, prior to that.
Oh, since I moved. So I'm here 11 years. So it was 5 years or 6 years, 6 years before I saw her again.
Okay. Oh, that is great. Well, when you left school, did you go into a training program? Yeah, I know you did. You went to a training program and you worked for a number of years, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I went to a training program and I kept trying to, I wanted to learn switchboard. They said no, but apparently the school put on up some word that I was incapable. And so they said, all you could do is sheltered workshop. And I wasn't happy about it, but I did. First I worked, what did I do first? This was my favorite job. I worked taking and stamping belts for the Army, the Navy, the Marines, you know, the armed forces. And then we'd pack them in boxes and send them away. And that was a pretty good paying job, and I did really well at them. Then they sent me to the other shop, and they taught me how to sew mops. And I was there for quite a while. But I got married when I was 20. And when I was 24, I got pregnant with my daughter. And I was working sewing the mops. And I picked up a mop. And there was cat's waste on it. So I marched upstairs, I disinfected my hands and everything, went to the social worker, and I said, I'm out of here. Why? I said, why? I am not going to work under these conditions when I'm pregnant because it can harm me and my baby. I said, either you give me a leave of absence, if you don't, I'm just walking out. So she gave me a leave of absence, said, are you going to come back? Well, maybe, I'll see, you know. Never went back because I never wanted to go back. But my husband worked there, too. He worked sewing dust mops. But then they had some people come in that were searching for workers. And they picked him. And they offered him a job in the hospital. So he said to me, what do you think I should do? I said, look, they said that if you don't make it, you can come back. Well, it was the best thing he ever did because he was one of the best workers when he had to retire because, what was going on, the city had no money and if you had 25 years, you could take a buyout. And I said, take the buyout because he got mugged 4 times. And the last time, they were so miserable, they stuck their fingers in his eyes and he lost some more of his sight. So I said to him, before they kill you, I says, take the buyout. He took the buyout and retired then. And it worked out just fine. And when you know, they had a little get-together for him when he was leaving. And they said to me, he does the work of 5 men and we're never going to find another one like him.
Oh, that's a great story. Where did you meet him?
My friends, when I went through training, I met some friends and they said, why don't you come down to the IHB club it was Wednesdays and Saturdays. And I said, oh, okay, you know, so I went down there and hanging out with them and he was friends with them and that's how we met.
Okay. And you have one daughter, right?
Yes, one daughter, and I'm just overwhelmed because I'm 74, and on December 12th, she's going to be 50, and I can't believe the time that has gone by.
Oh, my goodness. Now, you were an only child. Your daughter was an only child. But how many children does your daughter have?
My daughter had 7 children. And now her children got married. And I have 7 grandchildren. And I have 9 great-grandchildren.
Okay. Do any of them live close to you?
They live around here, but I don't see them much. Especially now, well, most of you know this. My grandson, Anthony, had COVID, and he almost died. We are so grateful that he didn't. But according to the doctors, they kept telling us, you better get prepared because he's not going to make it. And he did make it. He came out with blood clots, and he still has the blood clots, but they're treating it. But I don't know if you all heard about the weather we're having here. It's been miserable, and now it stopped raining for 2 days. Starting tomorrow, we are going back to the rain, and they say we could have more flooding. My grandson, they had to get him, his friends had to get their boat and get in the boat and go in the boat to get them out of their house. So they had to do that, and then he had to go to a hotel. And then he was on the news. I couldn't get over it. Showed his house, how bad it was, and how they could get in there to start getting stuff out, but it was all on the news, and he was talking, and his name is Anthony, and his friends call him Taco. I don't even know why, but they do. And he said, I live in a wonderful neighborhood. These people are fantastic. He says, they love me and I love them. And then there was a Navy man, and he was on, talking, and he said, Taco's the best. He says, he'll do anything for anybody, help anybody, and that's why we help him. We love each other.
Oh, that's a great story. And it's really encouraging to know that he is doing well. I hope the blood clot things clears up soon. I want to know about your cooking. I understand that you're a pretty good cook. Now, what is your specialty or specialties?
I make homemade spaghetti sauce. I'm strictly Italian. My grandparents came from Italy. I make it from scratch. I can't get everything here that I can get in New York, but I still got a good sauce. I can make lasagna. I make baked ziti. I used to make veal cutlet parmesan, but it's a lot of work too. And I make my own meatballs. I will not eat any meatball except mine. When I first came out here, we used to have Christmas Eve at my house. At that time, we might have had 15 people or maybe something like that. But then as the years kept going by and the kids kept coming, we wound up with about 25 people. And my apartment's kind of not big enough for that. And then the kids would all run around. And so then they changed it. So, but I did all the cooking. We used to have lasagna. We used to have a prime rib roast. We had potatoes and vegetables. And then we'd have all kinds of pies and cake. Because in my family, especially when my grandma was alive, if you had to go to her house, she didn't want to know nothing. And when you went there, especially Christmas or Easter, you went there and she made homemade raviolis, oh, to die for. So we'd have homemade raviolis, then the roast came out, and, vegetables and potatoes and stuff. And then later on, out came the pies, the cake, the fruit, the candies, nuts. Oh, you wouldn't leave her house till 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds wonderful. Our big holiday is Thanksgiving, and We just have all sorts of things. Now, being from the South, and you talk about vegetables and sides, what kind of vegetables and sides would you have with that dinner?
Broccoli, cauliflower, carrots. We'd have an antipasto. I forgot about that. Why I forgot about it, because I really don't like it. I mean, I like some of the stuff in it, but I don't like the Italian salami. So we'd have antipasto first, then all the rest of the stuff. I'm trying to think if we had anything else. Oh, we had spinach with oil and garlic.
Sounds pretty good. And lots of desserts, right?
Oh, we had pastries, Italian cookies. We had pumpkin pie. We had apple pie. My grandmother was a big candy person. I don't even remember what kind of candy we had, but there had to be candy there.
Okay, hobbies. Do you have hobbies? And if so, what sort?
Not really. I tried to learn how to knit, but I didn't care for that. As far as hobby goes, no. You know, I like to listen to music and stuff like that, but nothing that I made or anything like that.
Do you enjoy listening to books?
That's my middle name. Read books. I must have read every book in the world. And it's what's wonderful is because when I try to read Braille, I can read the Braille, but it doesn't comprehend in my brain. But on the disc or cartridge or tapes, I can tell the whole story from top to bottom, and it makes me feel so good.
Do you get books from the Library for the Blind?
I take them from Bard, but I also take them from the library because my worry is if I don't have a computer, I don't have a book.
Do you download books from Bard onto cartridges?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have a favorite author or a favorite sort of book?
Oh, I like a lot of authors. I'll say one of my favorites is Katherine Anderson. Sandra Brown, some of it. I like, what's her name? She wrote, she's a Christian author, Karen Kingsbury.
Oh, that's one of Parker's favorite authors. Well, have you started reading Christmas books yet?
Oh, yeah. When I find a Christmas book, I take it. I found a couple, but my favorites are Amish, and I like FBI. I like stories about the SEALs, Navy SEALs. And then there's, I think her name is Warren. I can't think of her first name, but she writes stories about the people that were in Afghanistan, and they come back with that P, I don't know what it is, P something, and they have a ranch, and they hire these guys on the ranch so that they can get better, and it helps them, and the stories are so good. I just found another book, but I don't remember names of it, but there was like already 6 books I read in the series, and it was wonderful, but I just, you know, it's terrible. I never remember names.
I don't remember authors either. Okay, is there anything that you would like to add? Because I'm sure I told you, I try to keep it as a secret to some of people, but after I get finished asking questions, all these people who've come to listen to your interview get an opportunity to ask questions. So, is there anything that you would like to add before that? Well, wait. I'm not finished yet. How about shopping? How do you shop for your groceries and other things? Do you do this online, or does someone take you shopping, or what?
No, I can't walk as good as I used to. I have a lot of pain in the legs and the back. I can't stand long. So my daughter goes shopping. But when I, even when I was married, when because my father and mother and my husband and I bought a house together. And when I was married, my dad and I would go out every day because my dad had the rheumatoid arthritis. And if he didn't walk, he didn't want to be in a wheelchair. He was in such pain, but he just pulled himself and walked. Sometimes he'd say to me, you know, Margaret, there's times that I feel like I wish I could jump out the window, but I don't do it. And his fight was to stay alive for me and for my daughter. My daughter was the apple of his eye.
Oh, that's great. So does your daughter help you? I guess she helps you pay your bills and that sort of thing as well?
Yes, she does. She pays them online for me.
So, is there anything else that you would like to add?
Well, I can tell you this. When I was pregnant with my daughter, and I got the test and I went to the doctor, and I couldn't believe what he said to me. He said, "Are you going to have this baby or are you getting an abortion?" I said, "No, I am going to have this baby." "Oh, but you're blind." I said, "So what? Big deal." I guess he was from old school because he was from Europe and felt I shouldn't. And even in the hospital, it was really something. When it was time to go home, they said to me, "Well, you know, we really can't let you go home because who's going to help you?" I said, "Number one, my mother and father, we live in the same house, and there's plenty of help. But I'm getting, because what I did was I applied to get help to learn, you know, how to diaper the baby and everything. I said, "Don't worry, I'm capable. I can do it." "Oh, your mother and father, okay, you can go home." And they did the same thing to my best friend, Sandy. We went to camp together. We went to school together. And in fact, we stayed friends, was still friends. And she had a boy, Michael, and my Patricia are 3 months apart, but she had another boy after that. So we just been friends since about, oh God, I'd say 10.
Let's back up a minute. You mentioned camp. Was this Girl Scout camp, or what sort of camp was this, and what were some things that you did?
Okay, the first camp I went to was called Montebello, and it was okay at the time. But, you know, as you got older, you didn't like it anymore. But we used to have arts and crafts. We used to go on hikes. We used to go in the pool. At the end of the season, we'd have a show where we'd sing and everything. It was kind of cool. Then I went once, and I did not like it. It reminded me, like, regimental. I'm not sure if I'm saying the word right. But, you know, like when you're in school, the bell rings, you got to go here, you got to go there. And that's how that was. So I didn't care for it. So I never went back again. I liked it because it was rugged. But I just felt like that, oh, I had to do everything. You couldn't say no to anything they had.
Now, a lot of us knew Myrna. Tell us, when and how did you meet Myrna?
Well, I think she was only there 2 years when I came. And she always used to tease me because I was very shy, very quiet. And she said, "You know, we forget you're around because you're so quiet." I think even Pauline felt that way. I never got a demerit. I didn't want to get them. And so I only knew her for 2 years, but she was a sweetheart. And when I seen her here, I was so happy to talk to her again.
Now, you said you didn't get demerits, but are you saying that Myrna and Pauline did?
No, I don't think Pauline and Myrna did, but somebody I know did.
Okay, is there anything else you would like to add before we get to the other people's questions?
Yeah, I kind of would like to tell how, with my friends that were sighted that lived in the building, we would, in the summertime, in the hallway, when you went up one flight of stairs and you got to the other flight, there was like a you know, we used to make it our beach, and there was a window, and we'd open it up, have picnics, play with dolls and stuff. And then my friends, they adjusted to me fine, because we would play games like the Game of Life. I could play jacks. I miss that. That's the hardest thing that I miss, jacks. And every Sunday we'd walk to church. Then after church we'd go to there was a Jewish bakery and they made very good stuff. So we'd go after church, bring back some cookies and cakes. And it's more my father. What he would do is, like, if he took me out, a lot of times he took a friend so that I could have company with me. So he would take maybe Madeline one time and then Julia the next time and Vivian the next time. He never took a junior because I guess he felt that, you know, we always play, even though we did play with, you know, we had junior playing with us, he always felt that the girl, you know, together. He'd take us, we went to, it was called Steeplechase in Coney Island. Oh, I love that place. It had all kinds of rides. And then they had this one ride that you sit on the horse and the horse would go. And like my horse would be on one track, my father's would be on the other, and my friend be on the other. And it would race. And oh, I had so much fun with that. But I loved going on rides. We went to Palisades. There was a place called Freedom Land. And when we went there, I got to... they had concerts, so I saw Brenda Lee and I saw Paul Anka. And also, growing up, my cousin and I used to go to a lot of rock and roll shows, so we did that. And then when I got older, I was able to go to concerts. I got to see Andrea Bocelli. I got to see Sarah Brightman. I got to see... who else? God, I went to see everybody. I got to see Neil Diamond. I got to think of his name. The other one. Oh, can't think of it. But I'm trying to think of a song, because if I said the song, well, if I think of it, I'll tell you. But I got to see him. I went to see Cher, my favorite one, and I love him. I think he's the most wonderful person that gives you a show that you never forget, and that's Elton John. I took my cousin, and he hated him. And then on the way out, he said to me, "Thanks." And I said, "What are you thanking me for? You hate him." He said, "Oh, no, I don't. Not anymore after I seen him."
It's amazing what a live show, the difference it makes. I just want to thank you for allowing me to interview you and get to know you better, because I didn't. But now, guys, you all have a chance to ask questions. Let me remind you that if you're keyed up, and you will be, and you hear someone asking a question, please let go of your key. Otherwise, Margaret won't have a chance to answer the question. We have plenty of time for everyone to ask a question, but just ask one question per person, please. Okay, Margaret, here's your crowd.
An interesting interview, Margaret. Of course, for many, many years, you've been a dear friend of ours. And in fact, we went to school together. I think you remember that. And you never had any demerits, but I had a few. But you won't tell them how many.
No, I'll be nice to not tell them, but I just laugh about it.
How did you get involved with the audio chat sites?
Well, the first thing that happened is my aunt bought me a computer. And I'm trying to think who started telling me about it. And then my uncle helped to put Jaws in, and I'm trying to think who it was that told me. I can't remember. Well, anyway, whoever it was, I got on the sites, I was on the one George had, Audio Tips, and that was on For the People, and of course, this site. I really, really enjoyed it, and then my computer somehow died and had to get another one, but the only site that I go to now is here. I don't go anywhere else. I go to Bard, of course. I play some games on RS Games. I love to play games up there. And it did open, the computer opened doors for me because I was always shy. And still am. I go in the coffee room and they always say, "Why are you so quiet?" That's me. I'm a funny person. I don't want to hurt anybody and offend them. So if I can't say a good word about them, I'd rather say nothing. That's my outlook of that. I had an experience the other day. I got new neighbors, and somebody rang my bell. I don't usually answer the bell because I have to be careful here. So I didn't answer it right away, and then I said, "You know, that bell didn't work for a long time. How could it have rung?" So I opened the door to ring the bell, and this little boy said to me, "I need help." I said, "Oh, okay, what kind of help do you need?" "Well, I can't get my door open because they just moved in. His mother was at work. He just had come from school." So I went over and I tried to get the lock to go, but it wouldn't go. I said, "You know, I think that's the wrong key." I said, "It's too paper thin to be the right key." No, I opened it, you know, before. So I said, "Well, do you have a phone number for your mom?" "Yeah, but it's in the house." I said, "Well, that ain't going to help us any." So I went in for a minute, and then my grandson came to the door because he goes to school four blocks away from me, so he was coming up to, his mother was going to come here. So when I opened the door, there was a lady out there, and I said, "Excuse me, ma'am." I said, "Do you live here?" And she says, "No, I'm the Fed Express lady that delivers packages." I said, "Oh." She said, "Do you know if the boys got the door open?" She said, "No, what I'm doing now is I'm calling the school where they go to ask them to call the mother." So eventually, I guess she came.
Wow, that's something. Poor little kid was probably scared. Did you go to the New York Institute? I was just curious because I went to Batavia School for the Blind, and we had quite a few of the students from the Institute come there. I guess they didn't like it or something. I'm not sure the reason why, but some of them didn't like it and called it a prison, so I didn't know.
Yeah, I went to the New York Institute. It had its bad moments. The worst thing I found there was the food was horrible.
Hey, Margaret, really good interview, and I'm so glad you did this. Yes, you and I both know that person who broke the record for demerits, but I won't say how many either. And I remember just how quiet you were, and we tried to encourage you, but you were just quiet. That was just the way you were. And I think you've grown since then. I don't think you're quite as shy now as you were then, so that's a good thing. Thanks, Margaret.
Well, you know I love you and Rick a lot. You're the sweetest people, and so you're my special people.
Now, Margaret, I want to reflect back to Myrna for a minute. There was a very bad rumor going on about you from her. She told us one time when you weren't around that you kept a little black book with a list of all the boys from the school that you had dated, and she kept one too. And she said from year to year, one got ahead of the other, but I want to know in the end who won that contest, or is it a vicious rumor?
Just a vicious rumor. There's no book.
Great interview, Margaret. Good to hear it all.
Thank you, Jack.
Yeah, thank you. I definitely enjoyed it, and Myrna was great. I loved her giggle.
I wish I'd known Myrna. And I'm glad to have the opportunity to get to know you a bit better, Margaret. I am half Italian, so I could really relate to what you were saying about the holidays and the holiday foods and the Italian cookies and everything. My grandpa and grandma and my dad was Italian, and grandma and grandpa always had Italian cookies and all the wonderful homemade gnocchis and all. And I was simply curious, are your mom and dad both Italian, or are you half Italian?
No, my mom is a mix. She used to call herself a mixture. She's not Ukrainian. Oh God, I can't think of it now, but she, not Lithuanian. Oh man, I hate when it's crazy because I know it in my brain, but it doesn't come to my mouth. I hate that. No, she wasn't Italian, but my grandma taught her to cook the sauce and everything. Of course, my mom's dead and my dad's dead. And I miss them days because we used to, not only did we, you know, we'd go to house on Christmas. We'd go to my mother's family and then to my father's. And New Year's, forget it. We just had so much fun. So I miss that. But my family has dwindled down to, the only one I have is my daughter and my grandchildren. Most of my mother's family's, I think all my mother's family's gone now. I have two aunts and an uncle left in New York, but my uncle's 91, my aunt's 93, and I think my other aunt is 89.
Good interview. And you got through it. And no one ever asked you about your involvement with the mafia. So you've made it.
Good old Kevin. I've really enjoyed your interview, Morgan. I'm so glad you did do it. I'm wondering if we have some of your recipes in the VIP cookbook. If not, that's a source we haven't even tapped into.
You know, I didn't, you know, I didn't have any recipes in there. I miss cooking because with all the pain that I have, it's really hard for me because I can't stand long. Lately, the pain has been getting worse. She gave me some medicine. It's not helping. So when I go back in December, I'm going to ask her if she could up it a little. I think it's called gabapentin, 300 milligrams, and it's not really doing anything.
Margaret, I was wondering what did you put in your meatballs?
Margaret, I really enjoyed your interview. It was lovely. Now you can answer the other Linda Lee.
Thank you, Linda. Linda Lee, what do I put in my meatballs? I put in, if I can get it, I put pork and beef. And then I put in garlic, onion, Italian breadcrumbs, pepper, egg. Trying to think what else. Oh, a lot of grated cheese. Mix it up and make the balls, and everybody that has come and eat my meatballs have raved about it. In fact, before I left New York and before my mother got real sick, my uncle came from Florida and I cooked the whole meal. So we're all sitting at the table and he says to my mother, "Oh, Marge, your sauce is out of this world." And my mother goes, "No, you have to look at my daughter. She's the cook." My uncle said, "You made this?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Why don't you bottle it?" I said, "Nah, it's too much work because I put in my sauce, I put, can't get it here, brujol, meatballs, sausage. That makes your sauce even better." And I cook it slow for about 6 hours.
Great interview, Margaret. I'm really glad you decided to do it.
Yum, that sounds so good.
Parker, it's to you that I did it, because you know I was afraid to do it, and you told me to go ahead, so I listened to you, so I thank you.
Hardly anybody ever listens to me.
Well, I did.
Margaret, this is Tammy Lynn. I don't know you very well. I've maybe spoken to you once or twice, but I really enjoyed your interview. It was great. And Karen Kingsbury is also one of my favorite authors. And I've also been accused of being the quiet one, but I can tell you that it's okay to be the quiet one, because a lot of times when you do speak, people listen. So thank you so much for the interview.
Well, thank you for enjoying it, and it was nice to meet you. I'm not sure if I spoke to you before or not, but it's nice to meet you.
Cool interview, Margaret. I enjoyed it immensely.
Hey, Lucy, my friend for years. Thank you for coming.
The last time I was in Washington, I invited you out for coffee. I see I made a mistake. I should have invited myself over for dinner.
Margaret, it's always nice when you come into the coffee cup in the morning. I've missed you for a while, but it's always nice when you drop in.
Margaret, you and I have a lot in common. We're quiet and introverted, both of us.
Oh, yeah, you're quiet, all right. I don't think so.
Margaret, I always enjoy when you come in the room. I always just wish you'd come in more.
Yeah, try to slide in with us on the patio sometime again, too.
Jack, I know you a long time. Great to see you.
Jack, it's good to see you. I haven't seen you in a long, long time. But Margaret, I didn't know that you were going to be the star of the show here tonight. And when I came in and heard your voice, I thought, oh, how nice that she's interviewing Margaret. Of course, I've known Margaret for many years, and Rick and Pauline and a lot of these folks, almost all these folks here I've known. But anyway, I wanted to say, Rick, we are partners in crime. I held the record at the Georgia Academy for the Blind for the demerits. They only had to get 50 to be qualified for suspension, and I ran up 85.
You had me talk.
Oh, are we ever finding out a lot of things tonight? Anyone else with a question?
Ned, I knew you had me beat. I knew that.
I didn't think anybody had you beat, Rick. Ned, I'm so glad you were here. I didn't notice that you were here. And yes, we have been friends for a long time.
Margaret, you have a really good crowd tonight that has come in to hear about you. So, and I love the smile in your voice.
Well, I was so scared to do this, but I talked to myself and said, I can do it. And then my daughter came because she had to drop off a few things to me. And she said, when's your interview? And I said, 5 o'clock our time, 8 o'clock Eastern. And she said, oh. And so she left. She said, good luck. So, I mean, my daughter's a good kid. But sometimes, oh boy, I want to just hang her up somewhere. But I love her dearly. She was everything to me and my husband. I thank God every day that he gave us her. She had some bad times and good times. She made some mistakes, but she's a great person.
As is her mom.
Yes, indeed. Margaret, this is Cheryl. We've not met or spoken, but I really enjoyed the interview, and I also share your love of Katherine Anderson. She's one of my favorite. You're such a bright light on this site, and it was wonderful getting to know you.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much for coming, and it's nice to know you, too. I can't believe that in all these years, I learned that I can talk, and I can, you know, I was always so afraid because I was always told I was stupid and retarded, and I'm not. I mean, yeah, you know, they said, you'll never use a computer. But thanks to some people, like my friend John, Music John, he did a lot for me talking, you know, helping me. And then, of course, Terry, when sometimes I get in trouble, he helps. And my other favorite is Dave. Dave, he helps a lot.
It really has been a delight getting to know you. And I do have authors in common with you, like Karen Kingsbury and Catherine Anderson. I'll make a point of trying my best to get to know you better.
Yeah, Pam, I used to be in the music room with you, and, you know, you were there. I don't go there anymore, but it's nice to know you, and I didn't even know that you're part Italian.
Well, if there's no other questions, Margaret, thank you so, so much, and wishing you the very best, an enjoyable Thanksgiving, Christmas, and a happy and healthy 2022. Thanks, everyone, for coming tonight, and happy Thanksgiving.
This has been a presentation of VIP Conduit.